You know, in tough economic times such as those being experienced in South Africa at the moment, companies become much more risk averse, and their ability to sort of absorb unexpected losses diminishes dramatically. So we thought we'd have a chat to SHA spokesperson Michael Makhootsi, who says that, you know, this is why it's important for businesses to spend the time and effort in making sure that contracts being entered into clearly reflect the responsibilities and obligations of all parties, and with particular attention to any limitations and liabilities. In other words, put it down in black and white, and then all parties are safe and each party will know exactly where they stand. Michael Makhootsi, the sort of team leader of liability underwriting at SHA, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Zane, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Michael, why is it vital for businesses or individuals to go through the content of their contracts? I mean, I recently looked at a very simple thing in terms of distribution, and I wanted to distribute a product. And I looked at this contract, and it was just so complex and so complicated. So why is it important to know the contents of that contract?
It's very important to know the contents of a contract, because the first thing that it stipulates the obligations of each party. So at the end of the day, you need to know what is required of you, and also the party that you signed the contract with, they need to know what do they need to deliver. And because nowadays business relationships are governed by contracts, and where they are not, they should be essentially. Contracts are becoming more increasingly complex, and if the contents of the document is not considered carefully, it could lead to significant increase in the liability exposure faced by the business owner. And you mentioned limitation of liability. This is very important, especially when it comes to small businesses entering into contracts with big companies, because you're a small one-man or two-man operation and you're entering into a contract with a big company whereby if they hold you accountable to a service you provided to them, they could essentially close your business down. So it's essential to limit your limitations. Most companies will say, I'm limiting my my limitation of liabilities is twice the fees that I will be earning from a contract. So it's very important from that for companies to protect themselves, and also for them to know that the contract that I'm entering, this is what is expected of me, and also this is what I'm also expecting from the party that I'm entering into a contract with. Mm.
What are the key findings that the SHA specialist risk report uncovered, which reveals sort of litigation cases filed against businesses?
I'd say this is very important, because signing a contract without appreciating the impact of accepting an open-ended liability just for the sake of securing work is never a good thing. I'll give you an example. I have a client who has signed a very onerous contract with their franchises, whereby they're saying that they will accept any liability which is incurred by these franchises without any right of recourse against the franchises. Now, this is very onerous in respect of you are saying that no matter what that guy does, you will accept liability for that. And as a company, we shouldn't be doing that. And as liability underwriters, we have witnessed a rising number of summons being issued in civil litigation cases. And it is clear that more companies and customers choose to pursue litigation as a first option when there's a dispute.
Run us through the sort of contracts that you guys cover at SHA, and we're having a chat right now to the team leader of liability underwriting at SHA. So this risk that you're taking and that sort of liability that you're taking, run us through the degree of it, and who should be looking at this, and if I'm starting out a business, how do I go about doing this?
Actually, like every person entering into a business contract should actually get some sort of a contract down, like I said, mentioned before, to make sure that both parties are aware of what is required from them. I'll give an example. We've done a survey beginning of the year whereby we interviewed about 200 business owners and executives. And what has come up is that from our survey is that 15.5% of those businesses had experienced some sort of litigation brought by a customer against the business. And additionally, to that survey revealed that 58% of the litigation against these companies were related to contractual issues. So it is very important as a small business, make sure that you seek some sort of legal advice to make sure that you understand the contract and the obligations that are set out in the contract.
So why should businesses have an adequate sort of liability insurance in place? Does it just give you peace of mind that in case you are in any case found liable of a breach of contract, that you have that insurance available to you?
Most definitely. Because remember also, Rotom liability covers you for your responsibility if you damage a third-party property or if you supply a product which causes injury to a third party. So it's very vital for companies to ensure that they're adequately insured, especially for broad form liability. Like I mentioned, if you have a one-man business and you get sued, litigation in South Africa nowadays is costing us a lot of money, and you don't want to fall victim to such cases whereby you find out that, first of all, you don't have enough in your kitty to be able to pay for this claim, and it could wipe up your business. So make sure that you have insurance, adequate insurance. Look at what your company does, look at the exposures within your company. I know most companies will not necessarily afford to do risk management, but it's very vital that you get some sort of insurance in place to cover yourself and the business.
And chatting this morning to Michael Makhoutsi, who is the team leader for liability underwriting at SHA. When you start out a small business, Michael, there's a whole lot of things. I mean, there's you need to sort of resource your staff, and you need to set up contracts with that staff. And you very often find labor people from the Department of Labor walking into your business and saying, right, okay, you started this business about 2 to 3 months ago. Where are the contracts with your staff? And where are their timesheets? Where are their books? And, you know, have you got this and that and the other? And it becomes a costly business for a small business to actually still look at risk underwriting and stuff like that. So are there sort of different packages for different businesses?
Yes, we do. We do have packages for small, medium enterprises whereby the cost of insurance is not as much as if you're looking at big manufacturing companies. So clients, they are more than welcome to contact us. We've got different options whereby they are tailor-made according to... The nicer thing about liability insurance is that we can tailor-make it according to how you want it. So the cost implications are different from a one-man or two-man business compared to a big manufacturing plant or a mine.
Give us a few examples of small businesses. How can you tailor-make a package for a small business?
We tailor-make it because liabilities has got a different sections in terms of cover. So you basically give us the information and you tell us what risk you're facing within your business. And then we look at the sections in terms of the policy to say, okay, you are looking for this section, you are looking for this limit. Your turnover is, if your turnover is less than 20 million and you're looking for a limit of liability less than 20 million, we can essentially give you a quote which is very small compared to the other big businesses.
What has been one of the examples for you where somebody who should have taken out that particular cover and didn't take it out and then suffered a loss in their business?
There's quite a lot. Hey, we've had one whereby if people, like for instance, if people come to your offices let me give you this example. Let's say you supply goods. I'll give an example of you supply goods and you supply defective goods to third parties and those goods end up causing injury or damage. That's a possibility of a liability claim, and those claims are what we cover under broad form liability.
And the other thing, Michael, when I looked at distribution, for instance, you go online and a number of people think that they can sort of shortcut the whole thing and go online. But you just don't understand the contracts that are online, and they're not sort of tailor-made for your business. So at the end of the day, you're sitting with a situation, that you're going to draw up a contract, you're going to sign something that you got off the internet. Is that a bit of a dangerous thing to do, finding a contract online that you think is suitable for your business?
It's something that shouldn't be done because standard contracts nowadays don't work. You need to make sure that you tailor-make the contract according to the type of business that you're getting into with the party that you're getting into. So getting a standard contract off the internet, I would advise against that.
What happens if I sit down and I've got a client, or I've got, I'm doing business with somebody, and the conditions in that contract don't suit me? Do I have a recourse to say to the people, okay, clause 2.1, I need that change there, clause 4.6, I want that taken out? Do I have a kind of a recourse to that, or should I just sort of accept the contract for the sake of business?
It's very dangerous to just get into the contract for the sake of doing business. It's very important that you go through the contract. Whatever that you don't agree with, or whatever that you don't think you can deliver, or whatever you think that it might be onerous for you to agree to that, it's very important that you tell the party that, I don't agree with this clause. Before I sign it, can you look at this clause? Can you negotiate on this clause? I know it's in this tough economic times, people are looking for business, and you might end up being desperate just to get that business and sign the contract. But I personally would not advise against just signing any contract, even though you don't agree with the contents of the contract.
Michael Makhoutsi chatting to us this morning, is the team leader of liability underwriting at SHA, and chatting to us about contracts. And more and more people are moving into the sort of realm of contracts. And I know that there's been an issue in terms of Woolworths and a number of their employees, where the Constitutional Court eventually it landed up in the Constitutional Court. And the Constitutional Court has now ruled that those members, I think it's 44 of them, need to be taken back into the employment of Woolworths. And it's that kind of situation whereby you might think that, you know, what you are signing and what you have in terms of a business contract, and even amongst partners, for instance, three partners in a business, you need to know that if you sign a contract where you set up that particular business and that particular partnership, what happens to your part of the ownership of that business when you pass on and when you die? It's one of those essential things that you need to sort of know. So, yeah.